Open up to Proverbs 29:19. Proverbs 29:19. Again, if you're listening online, we're in a slightly different version, modern English version for Proverbs, but it's based on the King James. Proverbs 29:19 is where we're going to pick up. You guys remember who wrote most of Proverbs?
Solomon.
King Solomon, right? And who was his dad?
David.
King David. And to be wise starts with putting God first. That wisdom starts with knowing who God is, and that God is the one where wisdom comes from. That, like James says, let's see if I can get there. See if I can find it. Here we go. Who is James 3:13? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show his works by his good life and the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, do not boast and do not lie against the truth. Here we go. This is what I wanted to quote up. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That wisdom comes down from God. And wisdom is not only knowing the right thing to do, but doing it. And who needs wisdom? Well, everybody, but especially the fool. And if we're honest, we'd realize that we're foolish. And we need to be wise. And God, that's why we're in your word. We want to be wise, not in our own accord, but by your strength and your wisdom. We need you to instruct us, you to tell us what's right, what's wrong, you to guide us, you to lead us. Because God, the wisest thing we can do is get to know the one who loves us and died for us, and that's Jesus. So let us see you in your word tonight and hear what you'd have to say to us through these ancient words that are still alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 29:19 says, a servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understands, he will not answer. I think this ties back into discipline too. You know, again, just going from the way this translation puts it, but sometimes discipline is what we need, right? Words don't correct us. And so what do we get? We have to learn the hard way. I remember that scene in Back to the Future 2, and they say, you can do this the easy way or the hard way. And then they knock them over the head and they go, the easy way, right? Sometimes God wants to let us learn the easy way, and that's by knowing what wisdom is. That's why by hearing words of our master, but sometimes we don't. And, you know, we understand, we think we understand, but we don't, or we don't understand, and that's the hard thing. We need to have understanding in life. And we need discipline. And sometimes we can't understand it. There's an old saying that you can't really know what the Bible says. Truly know it. You might know what it says. You can memorize it from cover to cover. But until you obey it, you don't have no idea what it means until you obey it. So we need to obey God's word. And then we'll have understanding. Verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him, right? There's not a lot of hope for a fool. But we need to not rush into our words. Sometimes we need to think before we speak. Sometimes we need to consider the answer before we give our answer, right? Sometimes it's obvious, but we don't see it's obvious. But if we sit and think, we'll come up with the right answer. Sometimes someone wants us to do something quickly to trick us or get us to sign on that dotted line, take out that loan, buy that car, get that house. No, I'm going to pray about it and make sure it's right. Because our feelings change, and sometimes the next day we sober up mentally. We haven't been drinking, but we've been drinking the wine of, ooh, that looks shiny, that looks new, that looks fun, I want that. And then the next day we go, oh, I'm so glad I didn't spend that money. We just waited, right? That we need to not be hasty in our words. We need to be slow to speak, right? Quick to listen. And slow to wrath. So if we speak quickly, there's no hope for us. We're just going to get ourselves in trouble one way or another, over and over again. And there's been plenty of times when someone said something and I've been quick to respond and it wasn't the right thing to say. But other times you sit there and think for a minute and consider, maybe even pray, and all of a sudden you get a wise answer. You get, that was good. I wouldn't have said that. And I sat back and thought about it for a minute, and oh, well, that's a good answer to give. Sometimes it's clever, sometimes it's smart, sometimes it's just simple. But take a moment before you answer. I think that's the hardest thing about being a kid, is learning how to not jump out and speak quickly or speak out of turn. Verse 21, he who delicately brings up his servant from a child will have him as a son in the end. You know, this idea that you'd have servants and they would have children and they'd be born in your house. And in fact, even if one of them earned their freedom, their kids would still be your property, so to speak. And we definitely in America have a bad taste about slavery in our mouth, rightfully so, to some degree. But servanthood and slavery has been different throughout all of history. And the Bible even says that if you take out money and loan, you are a servant, a slave to the lender. So be careful if you're the slave of Visa, even though you think you have freedom, you're the slave to the credit card. But the point is that they'd be born in your house, and that you had this little child that, even though he's your servant, you were good to him, you treated him right, or maybe you were that child born into that house and you were treated right and raised right and cared and loved. And although you were a servant, you were more like a child. You know, at the end, when they grow up, yeah, they still work for you, but they look at you like a dad. They look at you like a father. You look at them like a mother, or you look at them like your dad. And I think, obviously, this speaks of our salvation, right? That, you know, the law has said it's to be our tutor, to point out and lead us, to show us that we need a savior, that we can't obey the law. There's people on Twitter who go, well, what part of Moses' law is hard to keep? We need to keep it all. I'm like, the whole thing. The whole thing's hard to keep, and that's the point. You can't keep it. You need Jesus. And I get, you know, we should try and obey God's law to the best, but we can't keep it. Only Jesus kept it. He fulfilled it. And that, as Jesus said, servant doesn't know what his master's doing, but a friend does. That God wants us to go from being simply his servant to being his friends. That being a friend is important. And we become that when we find out who God is. That, yeah, he's God. Yeah, he's powerful. But he loves us and he cares about us. And there's some special relationships that not everybody has, but a lot of people have in life. That there's someone who comes into your life and they become like a parent to you, or a brother to you, or a child to you. You know, they have no relation to you, but whatever relationship you have with them supersedes it. It goes over, you know, your boss or an employee or a teacher or a student. It becomes special because there's a bond there of love, a holy love. Verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in aggression. Just, the Bible's clear that, you know, we can be angry. We're going to get angry, but we should not sin. Do not sin in anger. You know, it's easy to get angry and sin. You get angry and sin just comes naturally sometimes. An angry man likes to stir up trouble. You know, there's a saying, misery loves company, well, so does anger. Anger loves to poke and prod and get someone else angry too. I don't think any of us want to abound in transgression. Remember the difference between sin and transgression? Sin is missing the mark, like you're shooting an arrow. And that reminds me of kiddos. I found an arrow out by the lean-to. It's still out there if you need it, if you're missing an arrow. But you shoot for the target and you miss. And it ends up in the lean-to. That's sin. You tried, but you missed. Transgression is, oh, I'm going to turn around and shoot that arrow the other way. I don't think anyone wants to abound in transgression. It's just our lives, our relationships, our faith, our witness gets destroyed. And it starts with anger. And we need to learn to control our temper, to have our temper dialed back. And that happens through self-control. You're going to get angry and you're like, well, I'm angry. Okay, well, keep your mouth shut if you don't want to sin. Just go outside, go for a walk, get away for a minute so you do not sin. Learn to control your temper. Now, Jesus was angry when he flipped the tables in the temple. And that was righteous anger, but I think we like to say our anger is righteous from time to time. But I think 99.9% of the time, our anger does not lead to righteous things, so we need to be careful with it. We should lead it, cause us to pray, like David said, break the teeth of my enemies, right? That there's prayers we can pray when we're angry, and God will begin to change our hearts. And sometimes that anger can be turned into good things, can be turned into motivation or prayer, or, you know, to lead us to flip a table when it's necessary, or say hard things when we need to say it. But to say it because we're angry, that's the same thing with discipline. To go back to that point before, there's times when I have to discipline my children, and I can tell I do it right because I'm not doing it out of anger. I'm doing it because it's just, these are the rules and this is what God says, or this is just, you're misbehaving. There's other times I know that I overreact because I'm angry. I'm angry that they did it again. I'm angry that they said that. I'm angry because I just came in from the shop and I was frustrated in the shop, or I just got a new bill that I can't afford and I'm angry and I came downstairs. I didn't deal with it. And then they did a little thing and I get angry over it and I overreact, and the discipline becomes something it shouldn't be in anger. So we need to be careful. All of us need to be careful of that and ask God for help. The Lord help us. Verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but honor will uphold the humble in spirit. You know, pride is all about keeping yourself high, keeping yourself up, keeping up the appearance of being special. You got to drive the fancy car, wear the fancy clothes, and yet, you know, you're in all this debt. Yeah, people don't know that, you know, you're unemployed or whatever it is. And you keep up that lifestyle, eventually you're going to stumble. Eventually you're going to fall, and it's going to bring you lower than you were before. If you just weren't prideful, you know, if you were dishonest and said, you know what, I can only afford a Yugo right now, an old beat up car, and that's what you drive, that's fine. But if you're prideful, said, no, I have to have the big expensive car, even though I can't afford it. And then one day you don't make the payments and they come and take your big expensive car that you had because you're prideful. And now you're walking to work instead of just having the old beat up Yugo. That's what pride does. And that's an easy example. But what about our relationships? What about in the things we say, the way we carry ourselves, present ourselves? You know what? We should just be humble and admit when we're wrong, admit we don't know something, admit that, you know, we're not all that we're cracked up to be sometimes. And being honest in that, well, that upholds you. You said, you know what? I don't have to worry about the debt. I don't have to worry about what they think about me. I don't have to keep up appearances. I can just be me. And if they don't like me, they don't like me. And in fact, some people will look on and go, you know what? They'll honor you. They'll think, wow, this person's wise because they're not going around trying to keep up with the Joneses. Honor is an important thing. Honor can't be bought. Honor can't be faked. You know, people try and give themselves title. Reverend, apostle, president and CEO, but you're the only one in your company. You know? You can't fake honor. Real honor comes from without. The Bible says that God is the one who lifts up one and then brings down another. Verse 24. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own soul. He hears the oath, but tells nothing. You know, we try and get rich. We hang out with people we shouldn't hang out with. We do things we know we shouldn't do. So we're trying to get away with something. But really, the truth is we're hating our own soul. Because who here wants to go to prison? Who here would like to be in prison? When you hang out with a thief, that's going to turn you into a thief. And you really hate your own soul. You're really saying, I don't mind going to prison later for whatever I'm getting now. You know, we need to be a faithful witness with that one. We need to not go where we shouldn't go. You know, bad company corrupts good morals. And a lot of times we say, oh, my life is so awful. Well, it's because you love yourself so much. Stop turning to the thieves. Stop hanging out with thieves. Go hang out with the righteous. See how much you hate life then. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord will be safe. We'll be safe. Sorry. I was saying snare. There's a difference between being a snare and safe, right? A snare, think of like a trap in the woods for an animal to go hunting. Right? They're there. They don't see it. We set out the glue traps to catch that wily mouse that showed up. We fear man. We're worried about man thinks. We're worried about everyone else thinks. We're trying to be a people pleaser to everyone around us. We're just going to get ourselves caught up in our words. We're going to get caught up in situations that we shouldn't be in. We know we shouldn't be in. If we could just say no. You know, there was a friend of a friend got me a reference for a freelance opportunity, and they didn't share much about it. And then they shared more about it. And I was like, you know, I really can't be involved in this. It's nothing that was really that bad, but as far as like awful, but it just, I didn't have any peace about being a part of that kind of business or looking at those sort of things, and just had to say no to it. Right. If I was if I was afraid of them getting mad at me for saying no, I'd, you know, what kind of traps would I be in? I'd be doing things I shouldn't be doing or being involved with stuff I shouldn't be involved with. So if we trust God, we say, Lord, I'm going to do the right thing, even if it costs me something. I'm going to say no or yes or whatever, even if they don't like me anymore. I'm going to go this way that you want me to go, even if it means I'm not going to make as much money or I'm not going to be as popular. You're going to be safe. You're not going to be in traps. You're going to be free from traps, just like being free from debt. Don't have that. My daughter's wise. She goes, well, I left my wallet at home, so I don't spend it. I wish I was that wise. Sometimes we need to be the same way. We need to leave our care for what other people think about us at home so we don't get stuck. You care about, you're driving on the highway. The speed limit is 65. You're doing 65. And the guy behind you tailgating you. So he keeps speeding up and he keeps tailgating. He keeps speeding up. Then the cop sees you and pulls you over. Well, I didn't want them to think I was a bad driver or not cool. He goes, I don't care. The speed limit is the speed limit. You broke it. All you had to do was get over and pull over and let them pass you. It's the same thing. Fear God. And I think we don't fear God because we don't think he's going to care for us. And it's the same thing with obeying the word. We don't know what the word really means until we obey it. We don't know who God really is until we trust him. When his word says something and we obey it and we trust, you know, we can obey things when we can see it, when it makes sense. I will obey the sign that says, do not enter, beware a dog, when I see the big Doberman barking. It makes sense. I'm going to obey that sign because I see the dog barking. We don't have to know the owner. We don't have to know the person who put up the sign. But what about when God says something and we don't see it quite yet, right? Like Adam and Eve in the garden, they saw the tree. It didn't look like the way God's word said. God's word said it would kill them, and it didn't look like it would kill them. It looked delicious. And what do? They ate it and they died. And the way we come to trust God is by obeying his word even when we don't understand it. And that's what wisdom is too. Wisdom doesn't mean you have to understand why it works. You just know that it works, and so you do it, and it works. And you'll be safe in that. And when we know God, we trust him. And when we trust him, we get to know him more. The Bible says we go from faith to faith, that as we trust him, we learn things we never could have learned before. Just like with honor, you can't fake it. You can't fake a relationship with God. You can try a little bit. You'll fool a lot of people, maybe even yourself. But at the end of the day, the question that God has for us is, do we know him? And does he know us? So a lot of people think they know God, but the God they know is not the God of heaven. And the way we are safe is by trusting what God's word says and doing it, and then we see him come through in ways we never could have imagined. I never thought you could do that. The Bible says, above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine, that God answers our prayer, God answers our obedience, God provides for us and makes us safe in situations that we never thought we could be safe in better ways. We try and make ourselves safe all the time by charging the credit card, by lying, by going with the crowd. Because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to lose out. We don't want to miss out. But real safety is not in trusting the flesh, but in trusting God at his word by his spirit. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment comes from the Lord. It's the same thing, just bigger. We all want the king to like us. We all want the judge to like us. We all want the cop to like us. We all want our boss to like us. We all want our teacher to like us. And we'll do whatever it takes to make them happy. But their opinion of us at the end of the day doesn't matter. If we have fallen short, if we've sinned to make man happy, what's going to happen when we stand before God one day? God's going to go, I'm the judge. I'm the one who determines what's right and wrong. And I know you did it in that time, but that's not right. And you knew it wasn't right. God's favor is the one we want, because God's favor is in this life and the next. The Bible says, don't fear the one who can kill you. Fear the one who can kill you and throw your soul into hell. That we need to fear God and not man. Verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. You know, it's a good litmus test. You want to know what someone's heart is about, what they really think? Well, read the news with them. Show them things going on in the world, justice or injustice, and see what their opinion is. We don't like to talk about a politics. We don't like to talk about a religion. We get quiet at church and at the family dinner table at the holidays. But if you show a just person, a righteous person, an unrighteous act, they'll get angry. They'll get, I can't believe that happening. I got to do something about it. Oh, if that happened in my town, I would stop it right now. Or if they go, oh, you know, we should really give the criminal another chance. I know he hurt that girl, but just let him go. He doesn't understand. It reveals their heart. Someone's reaction to justice or injustice going on in the world reveals who they are. And when someone reveals who they are, we should believe them. We should believe them by their actions, not by their words. In the same way, you're going the right way is going to make many people upset. Doing the right thing is going to make people doing the wrong thing upset. When we were out handing out Bibles at the farmer's market, there were people who came by like, yes, that's awesome. And you know why they said that? Because they're going the right way. They know what the right thing is. There were people there I could tell were believers. They're like, yes, keep doing what you're doing. It made them happy. There were other people, they didn't say anything, but I could tell they weren't happy by it. And I knew they wouldn't be happy by it because I could see what was on their shirt. They were advertising what made them happy. The Bible says that to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. And what death? Not our death. They are smelling their own death when we walk by. It's like me and I were out loading the truck today with all the wood chips and getting all smelly, load them up. Then we went to Home Depot and I'm like, I know I smell. I'm like, if I walk by and someone goes, ugh, it's because I smell, because I've been working outside. And there was a lady there too with all this perfume on, and it was, it was a lot, right? You know, we have a fragrance too. To people who are going to heaven, they smell your fragrance and they go, yeah, that's good. I smell heaven. Or maybe they even smell the burning of your life on the altar. It's that sweet smelling aroma to God when you give yourself as a sacrifice, right? You are the steak on God's grill of the hard things in your life, of laying down your life, and you stay on that grill and the smell goes up and God is pleased. And others who love the smell of good things, oh, that smells good. They had the smoker. The neighbors had the smoker going the other day, and I want to pull over and ask them, what's for dinner and when can I come? But to someone who hates the smell of good things, when they smell you, you don't say bad words. You don't drink. You go to church. You go to church where? There's no steeple. You read your Bible. You dress appropriately. You respect your parents. Oh, what is that? Because they don't. And they like that they don't. And they think they're okay. But they're reminded that they're not okay when they see you going around, because they see that you are okay. And in fact, you're better and you're in a safe place and they're not. So keep going the right way, Saint. Chapter 30. We got two chapters left. So now chapter 30 is the sayings of Agur. And chapter 31 is King Lemuel's mom. Right? So we have Solomon and some other guys as well. So let's hear what these other guys have to say.
The words of Agur, the son of Jakey. Jakeh, Yakah, the oracle. The man declares Ithiel to Ithiel and Yukal. This is what Agur says. He says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man." And it takes a big man, a humble man, to recognize that. Hey, guys, look, I'm dumb. I don't have it all together. You know, my daughter's been giving me questions lately. They're not like hard questions. They're just ones I never thought about. And I go, you know, I don't know that. I stop finding things I don't know because I thought I knew a lot. And he says, and this is what he is. He says, I'm a brutish man. That's wisdom. Verse 2 is a wise verse. A wise man says, look, I don't know a lot, but one thing I do know, Jesus, right? And him crucified, like Paul would say. Verse 3, I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who has ascended up into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? He's like, look, I pursue wisdom, but I haven't learned it all. I haven't attained it all. I haven't learned everything there is to learn. In fact, Solomon pursued it for his entire life, and he realized there's no end to this. He says, I don't have the knowledge of the Holy One. I don't know what God sees. I think that's a big wise thing, too, is when things happen that are out of our control, and aren't they all out of our control if we're honest, they don't go according to plan. They're not what we like. They're not what we expected. Are we wise enough to step back and go and ask God, what are you doing? What is your plan? What is your purpose for this? You know, there's someone I know and I care about very much, and something has happened to them recently. I'm trying to be vague on purpose, but something has happened to them recently. And in one light, you could look at it and go, wow, they've been working so hard to achieve this goal. They've been committed to it for years. And now they can't conclude it. Well, maybe it's the right thing. Maybe God has a better purpose. Maybe God didn't want them to do it in the first place. And now he's saying, look, if you're going to complete this goal, you got to do it my way. But I also know there's other things going on in their life, and maybe it's a good thing for them to be where God has them. Maybe God doesn't want them away from where they are right now. Maybe God wants them where they are for a different purpose, a more important purpose than even the good aspiration that they had. That's wisdom. We don't see things the way God sees them. God is where? Heaven. Where are we? On this ball of dirt. God has a better vantage point. He can see. He's on top of the hill, so to speak. He can see everything. He can see behind us. He can see before us. He can see around us. He can see the people going on and around and everything going on. He's not stuck in our perspective, and he's got a bigger plan that he's written before time for us. Plan of good works that we might walk in them. A story for us to live out that's not the same as our story. It's better than the story we'd write for ourselves. That's what Agur is saying. He's like, I don't know. I can't see the way God sees. I haven't gone up to heaven. I haven't come down from heaven, he's saying, verse 4. He's saying, I can't. Can you gather the wind in your fist? No, it just goes right through your fingers. God has them. Who has bound the waters in a garment? Have you made waves? Maybe when you jump in the pool or move around, but can you cause the ocean to move? Do you set the boundaries of where ocean is and land is? No. I like what he says. He says, what is his name? What is God's name? He says, what is the name of his son? If you know. This guy, Agur, he's looking for Jesus. He's going, I'm a fool. I'm a king. No, he's the son of Achior. He's just a wise guy. Maybe I know more about him. I should know more about him. But maybe he's got power and authority, and he realizes that it all comes from God. And if God is as good as he is, God is going to have a son. What's his name? Here he goes. This is how I know he knows God. He says, every word of God is pure. He knows that the Bible is right. He knows that it's good. He knows that whatever God says, whatever it is, whatever it sounds like, whatever it looks like, it's pure. It's right. It's holy. It's good. It's beneficial. The Bible says that all scripture is God-breathed and good for doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, lacking nothing, right? Ready for every good service. He knows what the Word of God is. He knows that it doesn't matter what he thinks about it, but that it is pure. The next part of verse 5, he says, he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do you think he's just saying that? Do you think he just goes, yeah, God's a good shield. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. No, he's going, there's been times in my life when I needed protection, financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And what did I do? I put my trust in God, and he protected me. This he's speaking from experience. That real wisdom comes from experience. Fortunately, a lot of us learn the hard way. And, you know, a lot of times they'll say, how do you think I know? Well, how do I know? How do you think I know that you shouldn't turn the bolt more than you should? Because, well, I've broken the bolt last time. Don't touch that because it's hot. You know how I know? Because I touched it and it was hot. We learn a lot of our wisdom through doing the wrong thing in life. And sometimes we need to, like with parent of children. Sometimes I've just got to let my children learn the hard way that they might learn and be able to think for themselves. But on the other hand, we just need to trust God. If Daddy said it, I believe it. Verse 6, do not add to God's word, lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. This is great. You know, it's Pastor Chuck Smith used to always say, where God is silent or the Bible is silent, I must be silent too. A lot of times we like to jump to conclusions. Well, God said this, so it must mean that. Or God said this one obscure verse, so I'm going to build a whole huge doctrine on it. I think we need to be careful. Because more often than not, we're wrong than right. If God's silent, we need to be silent. And what's going to happen? God's going to go, hey, I didn't say that. And it's going to be revealed that we're lying. We didn't hear from God. That's not a word from God. That's not a message from God. That's not wisdom from above. That was us twisting it and making it fit our own needs and desires. I think we're going to stop at this verse now. Because, like we've been reading in Matthew, Jesus keeps saying, have you not read? You know, there's so many people skip around in their devotional time. They flip the Bible. Oh, Acts 8. On that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. I'm being persecuted. No. Read your Bible. Go through it gently. Go through it verse by verse. Say, if you don't know what to read, God, leave me somewhere to read. Or I don't know what to read, fine. Pick Matthew. Read through all of Matthew. Fine, pick Acts. Read through Acts. Make your devotional time. Read it. Just simply read it. You don't need to study. Don't need to get in the Greek. Don't need to get in the Hebrew. Don't need to read the commentary. Just read it. When you're done, read something else. Read another book. Another book. Another book. There's 66 books in here. You can read them for a while. When you're done, go back and read them again because I'm sure you missed things. And even if you memorized it, read it again because every time we speak to it, this word is living and active. Something else jumps out to us, speaks to us, instructs us. Remember, these are God's words. We're not going to understand them all at face value. We're not going to understand them all our first time through. We're not going to understand them all our 100th time through. It's going to take a lifetime of reading them and studying them and obeying them and praying and worshiping and knowing God. So once we begin to see Jesus in it, then it starts to make a little more sense. Once we start obeying it, then we go, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to obey another one. That last time I obeyed, it saved me a lot of trouble. The last time I disobeyed, I got in a lot of trouble. It's going to be written on your heart. It's going to guide you. And it's a shame that a lot of the church jumps around. My wife told me of friends recently who said, you guys go verse by verse? I've never heard of that before. I'm like, what? It's a shame, not to them, but to the people who have led them. How do you expect to grow if you're not eating? It's no wonder that we look to other people for wisdom because we haven't been taught to find it for ourselves. God wants you to read his word. God wants you to know his word for yourself, not always go, hey, pastor, hey, dad, hey, mom, hey, brother, hey, sister. The Bible says that there's going to come a day when we're not going to have to tell each other to seek the Lord, to know the Lord. And not that you shouldn't have advisors or a pastor or counsel or other people that can pour into you, but know the word for yourself. You're going to be surprised at how wise it makes you beyond your years, how much trouble it saves you, and most of all, when you're really looking for Jesus in it, how much you're going to find him, how much he's going to answer you. You're going to be reading, and all of a sudden that verse is going to stick out, and you go, wow, I should not take that job. Wow, I should go there. Wow, I'm glad I waited till the next day and didn't marry her because it became clear to me the day after. She ain't the right one. And I'm using crazy examples, but you get the point that we have to get this word in us, and it doesn't just come by osmosis, which is passing through. You can't just put it on your head and expect to know it. You can't just read it. You got to live it. And the way you live it is by his spirit. The way you live it is by day by day reading it and spending time with God. And if you don't love it, do it anyway. If you don't understand it, keep reading. He'll show himself to you. I suggest don't start in something really boring and tough like Leviticus. Start in John. Start in Proverbs. Start in Romans. Start in Corinthians. Start somewhere that you want to start. Because God gave us his word. And this is his word. He understands it all. He said it all. And more than that, he is it. Oh. If you want to know what God sounds like, read his Bible. This is what he sounds like. You want to know what God says? This is what he says. Not some word from someone else. Not some special revelation. Not some 12 steps on how to have a better marriage or be a better kid or do a better job. That's great and all. But what does God say? He's gonna encourage you in it. You're not going to be fighting to follow some law. Follow some 5 steps that your pastor gave you. You're going to read it and go, I want to be like Joseph. And I want to be a good steward. You're going to read it and go, man, David had a lot of enemies. Yet God protected him. I got a lot of enemies right now. I want God to protect me. You're going to naturally seek it. Without trying to obey it, you're going to want to obey it. Without trying to figure it out, you're going to figure it out. Because you're going to have your God who loves you, with you, protecting you. Amen? Amen. So God, make us wise by your word. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens day by day, verse by verse, trial by trial, victory by victory. It all comes by you. Bless your people who hear. Help us follow you, hear your voice. And God, be ready when you return that our lives would be a life that's pleasing to you, not in our own strength, but because as we read, we go, man, you're really convicting me of doing this. God, I need to do this. Or you're really telling me to step out and try this. I'm going to try this. And you're going to come back and go, great job. You stepped out. You were afraid to travel to Pennsylvania. And you left New Jersey and went to Pennsylvania. Good for you. Because I was calling you. God, help us step out in those little ways. And even just by spending time in your word. And not to look for anything. Not to ask for blessing. Not to want our pockets lined. But just to hear your voice. Just to have that moment with you. That even, Lord, in the morning, that 30 seconds with you. It would make our whole day better. Even if our day goes awful, we go, you know what? That time with God was great this morning, and I've got him with me. And I don't know what he means by all these troubles, but it doesn't matter. Because I know he loves me. And he's going to lead me and guide me, and I don't have to figure it out. He's got it for me. So, God, help us to have that heart and not to harden our hearts. And to be wise and be humble. And to trust you and seek you above all things. We ask God in your precious name, Jesus, your son's name. Amen. So, beloved, may God bless you and keep you, and his face shine upon you all your days.
There is a vineyard of the Lord. There is a vineyard for our soul. With all our troubles left behind the door, we drink first light until the door.